Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and they are kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And we are joined right now by our great friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning over there.
Yes, good morning to you guys.
How's it going, Paul?
Pretty well. How are things going out there?
Pretty good here. Not bad. We're enjoying the sunshine, I'll tell you that. How long can we enjoy it? How long is we going to have it?
Yeah, still looking at it, yeah, certainly. Still sticking around the next couple of days, certainly. And then a few more clouds late week with a few more shower storm chances building back in towards Friday and the weekend. But until then, still in the more sunshine today, upper 70s for highs, northwest winds, 5 to 10. 51, partly cloudy tonight. And then 73, mix of clouds and some hazy sun for your Wednesday. 53 Wednesday night, still upper 70s Thursday, warming up to about 80 on Friday. Wow. After a low of 61 Thursday night. And on Friday, just an isolated risk for a shower storm. Chance for scattered shower storm Friday night, Saturday as well. High still around 80 on Saturday. Isolated storm chances Sunday, otherwise partial sun, some upper 70s Sunday. Still around 80 on Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Paul, is this normal for this time of year?
You know, we're going to be seeing more above average temps overall here.
It seems like it.
Close to 70 right now.
It's hard to remember sometimes, so it's always good to have you guys there. Always appreciate the time, Paul. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, you bet. Sounds good.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Big shout out to our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Man, I'm not going to get used to that for a long time. I'm so happy to have them back. Nobody should be this excited about weather that's not a meteorologist.
but it's fun to just talk to the act. You know, usually you hear them kind of automated or just a recording of it. So it's fun to talk to a meteorologist.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And really, well, it's nice to be able to ask Paul a simple question like that because I think a lot of people out there, it seemed the temperatures were a little higher than normal this time of year. What this is really key for is when we have breaking weather news, which of course never happens in Wisconsin.
Oh no,
we never have weird, crazy weather here.
James, have you lived here for a little while?
No, I just got here. Why? Okay. It's weather related. it is one of the. I've only lived in about five or six states, but it's by far the craziest state for weather. Now, I also have only I've lived in certain parts of the country. You know,
right.
I haven't lived out east or anything, so I'm not saying it is by far, but from my experience so far.
Right.
We're going to get into Misty's mini birthday and anniversary club a little bit later. Right now, thought this was a really good one. Five things that shouldn't be on your resume in 2022. A senior recruiter at Google is going through going viral after she posted five things that shouldn't be on your resume, but she says way too many people still include them.
Okay.
I want to say it was about a couple weeks ago I went over my resume and redid that and everything and actually came across a very similar article. So I think this is kind of interesting, and I got a little bit I can even add to it.
Okay.
So number one thing on this list, your full address. There is no need for it anymore. Just city and state is fine.
Huh.
It's not just a way for you to protect your privacy.
Right.
Because say I put my resume into you, Melissa, and you look, you got like, it's not bad, but you got 20, 30 more, you know, candidates are going to go.
Right.
So where does it go? If I'm lucky, you shred it. But more times than not, let's be honest, it goes into the recycling or if you're lucky or the garbage.
Or even if it's not a paper copy and you've got it out there on Indeed or any other job search site.
I would imagine that most businesses are very good about getting rid of that information, but I don't put it on them too because it is I put my address on there willingly.
Right.
This is we live in a day and age where we have to be
a different day and age.
A little more protective of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if they want your full address, they'll ask
for it.
Yeah, and really they shouldn't need it unless they're hiring you.
Right.
So that, I completely agree with that one, and that's actually been that's an older one actually. That's been around for a while now. An objective statement. People used to include a few lines at the top of about the specific job they wanted and why they were good at it, but it just seems old school now, and it it kind of takes up room.
Right.
It used to be your resume could be two or three pages. You could have that cover letter and all these
things. You wanted to show off what you have, what skills you have. Now it's like short and sweet, to the point. I only got so much time to look through this. If it's going to take me, if it's a book, I'm not going to. I'm just going to throw it.
This colored paper is new. No interest. No, that's not my kind. Like every employer is going to be different, of course. But we're talking about the majority of businesses, the majority of people. They don't. it could be the most. It could be applying to a job at Lego. And they're not interested in your creativity right there with your the creativity with your resume. They're interested in your creativity, sure, but they are not interested in a cover letter or
rather see bullet point list of these are the things that I know how to do or that skills I have that make me creative.
Right. And that's what they're much more interested in. It's it's now you're there's no reason to put like 30, it's okay, this is the next one here too anyway, so I'll just go to that. Your entire work history. Don't make it a 2-page resume. Just fit your job at Wendy's from 20 years ago on there. Just to fit your job from Wendy's out there 20 years ago or whatever.
They don't need to know all of it.
Just list the experience that's relevant to the job you're applying for. The concern, and I've asked employers about this.
Gaps in your employment history.
Yes. Most employers nowadays realize that they have to, hey, were you out of work at this time? They will ask you. I don't trust that. I don't. So I will usually put like at the bottom of my resume or something, working between this year to this year. Just working, or maybe just the job, the business I worked at.
Employed at. Business from this year to this year, yeah.
But I will admit that that's one that I've heard every employer say that, but then they give you that as a response. Why is
there a gap?
Yeah. What, did you not work from 18 to 25 or something like that? I'm like, yeah, of course I did.
But if it's the difference between having a 1-page resume and having a 2-page resume, then axe it. Don't include it.
Yep.
And then they will ask you the question if you get to the next round.
Weak verbs and statements like I helped or I was partly responsible for. Stronger action verbs make you sound more impressive, like I managed, I improved, I generated, streamlined is a whole different thing. We don't do that anymore. We don't.
It's like train robbery. We just don't do those things anymore. Some of them even say don't use I. Don't use I verbs.
That's what I was struggling with, how to word this. Yes, because that's a big one I've heard.
Managed office personnel instead of I managed office personnel. You don't need the I. Obviously, no. It was you.
Yeah. references available upon request. It's just filler. They know they're available. If they need them, they'll ask them. But they don't put this on here. But I will say, employers still want those references.
And it depends on the app. Look at the job listing, because sometimes they specify, list 3 references.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, you don't include that with your resume. You include it as a separate sheet. And then you put your references on that separate sheet.
Yeah. Are there anything that you can think of that's not on this list?
Mostly what I said is the short and to the point. Get your point across as briefly and quickly as you can, because you have no idea how many resumes they're reading through. And oftentimes, when I've been on a hiring panel, reading through resumes is a chore.
Yeah.
It is such a chore.
Yeah.
And the briefer and to the point that they are, it knocks them to the top of the pile. I mean, yes, you're looking for qualifications and you're looking for that they have the ability to do the job, but you're also looking for someone who isn't going to be so wordy and bore you that you can't get your point across in a short amount of time.
Unnecessary personal information, too many details about your hobbies or interests.
Yeah.
Anything that's starting to get autobiographical, like I would say, is probably not necessary.
Well, because the
Your age is another one. They don't care about that. No. They'll ask if they want to know.
And actually, they can't even ask.
True. That's right. Right. So
they can't.
Including your age, which I've never done, but that's one to make sure you're taken off of there.
Old school way of doing a resume did include all of those things.
Yeah.
And they wanted, the point of a resume is to show your skills, your qualifications, that you're a well-rounded person. Now, if you're applying for something that would include one of your hobbies or including a hobby that you have that would show a qualification that's not, necessarily something you went to school for or you worked in, but it pertains to the job you're applying for, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Like, you want to tailor your resume for every job that you apply for.
Yep.
It'll be different every time.
That's why I went over mine the other week, a couple weeks ago, and it's why I implore people to, even if you've had a job and you don't plan on leaving that job, you don't know what your employer is thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I think we have fantastic owners. I trust our owners. I like our owners. I still updated my resume a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it's the world we live in. It's a business. This is business. It's not personal. This
doesn't hurt for you to have that on your mind,
right?
And to keep an ongoing document on your system that has things listed off, things that you've done. Because I don't know about you, James, but I don't remember it all the time off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And just to have it written down to look back and go, oh, okay. And then you can cherry pick what you want to put on a resume for a particular job.
While employees have gained a lot more power in the last 5-10 years, you may even be able to go a little farther back than that. I would say at least in the last 10 years, it has become more and more where employees are getting more power.
Mm-hmm.
It is still a fact of, if I'm an owner, I can go to you at any point, any time, mm-hmm. and say you're out of here. Not two,
in the state
not
of
in
Wisconsin.
2 weeks. Not
yeah.
in 2 weeks. Right now, you are fired. You are out of here. Mm-hmm. I don't care how you're going to pay your bills. I don't care how you're going to feed your family. You're out. Whereas if I want to quit like that, I'm a horrible employee. How dare I do something like that? How ruthless of me. I don't care about my employer. It's one of these situations that we are all in as employees, mm-hmm. and we have to
because we are a right to work state.
Right, and we have a right to protect our assets, a right mm-hmm. to protect what we have in this world,
mm-hmm.
and you do that by making sure that you always have work. So keep that resume up to date. You know, keep on these things. Another thing to keep in mind too, along with one of the best points I think you could have made, Melissa, was tailoring your resume to the job that you want or you're applying for, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I know it can be hard, but we've seen such good stories and so many good signs of it. You know, hey, is there a job you want? Keep going for it.
Yeah.
Keep trying. You know, I mean, do what you got to do to keep the lights on until then. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, keep going for it in here. And I don't know. I kind of think that the way things are going. And I know that there's, you know, anybody could call up right now and throw at me statistics to skew whatever they want to think. But what I see and what I'm getting from this, I think that we're getting to a better place with employees and employers,
mm-hmm.
where there's a much more mutual ground, where they're yeah. meeting each other.
More conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Which
I
is
mean,
making the world better, making the businesses
we
better.
We saw that here in the UW system with our nurses. They were able to come to an agreement with the UW healthcare system to stop a strike. They're striking in Minnesota right now.
Yep.
15,000 nurses
yep.
are striking
yeah.
because they couldn't come to an agreement with their administration for fair working hours, fair, you know, at least that's what they were talking about here was patient care. And to be recognized as a union.
Well, and these nurses are incredibly intelligent, obviously, because they you know, you don't get to be
schooling.
A nurse for nothing. But even when it comes to this savviness, because they're not asking necessarily for this because they even think they deserve it, which they do. They're doing it because they keep seeing, well, hospital and you know, president just got a $25,000 bonus, and this person just got paid an insane amount, and what they are overcharging us as patients and everything.
And they're seeing not safe situations with patients where nurses are worked beyond what they can physically do. They're experiencing burnout. They're experiencing just concern about patient safety.
We got a scary situation going on with bus drivers.
Yeah.
Well, almost every community needs more. Yeah.
In Wausau because they don't have enough bus drivers.
We the only way that gets fixed is by paying people better. And that obviously is going to mean an uptick in certain things.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what we got to do to make sure that our kids can get to school, like or our nurses are you know living a healthier life and a better life.
You
and
know
all
what
this?
We need to stop seeing an uptick in? Billionaires lining their pockets. Millionaires lining their pockets. CEOs just with these raises that are going over the top.
And the only way that is going to change is if we keep seeing things like what those nurses are doing in Minnesota and these kind of things. Like, mm-hmm. the only way that they're ever going to listen to us, anybody that is of that ilk, is if we affect their money.
Yep.
That's what they listen to. Yep. They're not gonna listen to a great written letter or a protest outside of the said business or something like that. They don't care. No. They've proven that. Proven they don't care. What they will pay attention to is when you affect their money. So if all of a sudden people aren't showing up to work and they can't make a profit, I don't care if we're talking about hospitals or a local business, that's when they will start to care.
Mm-hmm.
And understand the power you have as a consumer out there. Understand the power you have as a patient out there.
Because a convenient protest is not a protest.
Yeah.
It has to be inconvenient. We're seeing that in the UK right now with people speaking out about the royal family. And then you're hearing the backlash of, this is not the time and place. Yeah, well, when is the time and place? Can you schedule it with us? We'd like to have a conversation.
Convenient protest is not a protest. That's a very good line. It's a very good line. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do some celebrating. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club are right around the corner on Mornings on WFHR. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. If you're hungry, treat yourself. Misty's is open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week. And 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish the gang a very happy day from all of us here at WFHR.
Yes.
Love
Good
our friends over at Misty's.
Good morning to our friends over there at Misty's.
We are going to get into the birthdays and anniversaries here in a moment. But first, I want to let everybody know some good friends of ours over at Altman Construction.
Oh, yes.
The very people that helped build this building right here, mm-hmm. along with make it so that we could have our show here and stuff.
They worked on it.
They did. They did an amazing job on it. And
hammers, screwdrivers.
All the hard workers over there at Altman have done a lot of good work in this city and in the surrounding area. And Altman Construction is celebrating 40 years of construction excellence this September. They're proud to be serving the Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. They are posting throwback photos on Facebook for their anniversary.
Nice.
So be sure to, like their page, mm-hmm. keep up to date on the things that they do, and support local.
Yeah. Tell them congratulations.
Happy 40th, Altman.
Way to go.
I wish them a great anniversary.
Keep up the good work.
Really good people over there. So we got a 1 through 3 here on the list today, Melissa.
Ooh, I pick one.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. That gave us our qualifier. All right. And we want to wish, so the first two birthdays are going to, they're going to take a little room here. Because they're both people we know.
Mm.
First up, want to wish very happy birthday to Tim Young.
Hey, happy birthday, Tim.
Tim, we wish you a great day. Both Melissa and I are big fans of yours, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Love working with Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, of course, head of WRCT over there.
Yeah, he's the executive director of WRCT.
Doing doing a great job over there.
Mm-hmm.
And an amazing job. And Tim kind of took on that position or got into the position like our mayor and like some other people right in the beginning of a pandemic.
Yeah.
Like,
which is kind of the hardest time to take over a new position because everything's changing.
Right, yeah, it's crazy, and he's done an amazing job. He's a homer.
Yeah.
I mean, just does a fantastic job over there. Tim's a great actor. You have mm-hmm. already seen him in quite a few plays in mm-hmm. just a short couple of years here.
Yeah, most recently, Death Trap.
Mm-hmm. He's done some really good work out there, and you'll be able to see him in The Odd Couple coming up with our own Seth and Heather, and
mm-hmm.
A
opening
great
up
cast.
Next month.
Yep. All that being said, those things pale in comparison to Tim's soul, his character, the kind of person he is.
He's a good guy.
You don't see anybody just say hi to Tim. Everybody comes up to hug Tim.
Yep.
Or he'll hug you. One or the other.
Yeah.
Just one of those kind of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of those people.
Yeah.
I wish you a great birthday,
genuine
brother.
Soul.
Enjoy your day, brother. Hope it's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, not to be outdone, also celebrating a birthday today, Linda Garsky.
Oh, happy birthday, Linda.
One of the most famous laughs of all time, in my opinion.
Yes.
Gotta love her laugh. I've rambled about Linda many times on the air.
I met Linda's laugh before I met Linda.
That's great. That's awesome. Yes, I can see that.
She came to see The Real Inspector Hound, which was the first show that I was involved with on stage with WRCT. And I'd been hearing from everybody, Linda's coming tonight. You're going to recognize her by her laugh. Well, they weren't wrong.
Yep, yep. Linda's one of the best directors I've ever worked with, one of the better actors I've ever worked with. Mm. Again, it's her as a person.
Yeah.
That, you know, the way that woman has stood, had my back in so many situations that not many people did, has stood up for me in many times. And just one of those people that I genuinely love to work with.
Yeah.
I would do one line in the play just to be in a play that Linda is directing, because I not only would get better, but I love being in that atmosphere. She creates a great atmosphere on set.
She's a fun person to be around too.
Wishing you a great day, Linda. Hope it's a good one. And both of these people have also worked for decades in this state, and putting back into this state, and that should be mentioned too. Our qualifier, though, so we're in trouble with Linda and Tim, Melissa, because neither of them qualified.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, we apologize.
He never shows me the list.
No.
Because I would have had a hard time picking them.
Right.
How do I choose one over the other?
It actually may have worked out for us. That's why I was giggling, because I'm like, okay, well, now we're not in trouble. We're in trouble with both of them instead of just one of them. But I'll take that. Dolores Afaro.
Happy birthday, Dolores.
Dolores, we wish you a fantastic birthday. Enjoy your day. Gosh, is that a beautiful name.
Yeah.
Dolores Afaro, P-H-A-R-O.
Nice.
That's a beautiful name.
And she's our qualifier. Yeah, congratulations.
Enjoy it. And we'll get into some celebrity birthdays now. Niall Horan is 29, and I have no idea if I said that name right or who that is. His biggest solo hits are Slow Hands and This Town. He has many hits with One Direction.
Yeah, he's an Irish singer-songwriter.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I do know this singer-songwriter, Fiona Apple, is 45.
Oh, I like Fiona Apple.
Oh, love Fiona Apple. Her first album, there's not a bad song on that track, on that whole album, there's not a bad song. She's an incredibly gifted songwriter. Mm-hmm. Very unique singer.
Yes.
I've always enjoyed her work.
She's got a very unique sound.
Oh,
I just downloaded the Fetch the Bolt Cutters album that came out in 2020. And because I didn't listen to a lot of Fiona Apple as a young adult.
Mm-hmm.
But recently I've listened to her more and I'm like, you know, I really like how she writes. I like how she sings.
Yes.
I can't listen to her all the time, but when I do, it's just kind of like, I can align with this.
The song Carry On off her first album is just epic. But Shadowboxer is one of my top 50 favorite songs of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the top 50 at least. Maybe top 100, but top 75, top 50, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of music.
There's a lot of music.
She's just so good. 45 years old for her. Ben Savage is 42. Fred Savage's little brother. Boy Meets World and Girl Meets World. Joe Don Rooney is 47. Rascal Flatts superstar. He's the one. He is married to Tiffany Fallon. I don't know who Tiffany Fallon is, and I don't know much about them. So, but I want to get that in there.
Yeah.
A couple of very famous artists' kids' birthdays today. Stella McCarthy is 51. She's a fashion designer.
Okay.
She is Paul and Linda's daughter. Paul and Linda McCartney's daughter is 51. That's man, wow. Zach Starkey is 57. Ringo Starr's son. And a drummer for The Who.
Okay.
He drums for The Who now.
Nice.
Which is crazy to think of.
That's hilarious.
You've got a 6 degrees of separation between The Who and the Beatles nowadays. Like, that's interesting. Tyler Perry is 53.
All right.
Writer, actor, producer, director, creator. Tyler Perry literally does it all. 53 for him.
And I like his sense of comedy.
A lot of people do. He's very, very popular. Let's see here. Michael Johnson is 55, Olympic sprinter and superstar. He holds 4 gold medals from Barcelona, Atlanta, and the Sydney Games.
Mm.
Jeffrey Ross is 57, the roast master general for Comedy Central, the roast king, the Don Rickles of the modern times. Jeffrey Ross is hilarious, incredibly good. He is so gifted in his mind, the way he can come up with things just so quickly. And he's one of the kindest guys you'll ever run into.
Oh, yeah.
My buddy Will, who's a stand-up comedian out in California, talks about this all the time. He showed up at a set that him and a couple of other comedians were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he just showed up. He was having a drink at the bar, liked what these guys were doing, and just kind of came over and started But so he starts heckling them, but he starts heckling them like with compliments. Oh. Hey, you guys are getting too good at this. You're making it harder for me. Like things like that and stuff. Like he's great. Jeff Ross, one of the, like, just a master of ceremonies right there. Dave Mustaine is 61, Megadeth leader, lead singer, okay. And used to be with Metallica. Let's see here. Jean Smart is 71. I love Jean Smart. Fantastic Jean actress. Smart. A lot of people know her as Charlene on Designing Women. But,
oh, okay.
She's really had a couple of roles in recent years where she has played a little bit of darker characters and done an incredible job as it. She was on Watchmen and very good on that. She was on Legion and incredibly good on that. She's a great actor. Let's see. Peter Cetera is 78. Boy, I kind of wish we were still doing days or day in rock history. Like today would have been a real easy day. I just got all these people who we could have just played all these things.
Yeah.
Peter Cetera, you know, the after leaving Chicago, had plenty of hits as well. Kind of, I mean, in a way, kind of underappreciated. What do you think about it? Like all the hits that he had with Chicago, and then he had like a 4 or 5 hits on his own. Yeah.
Okay.
A gentleman that used to work with us here at the studio, Bob Look, one of his, if not his favorite band, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, his favorite singer, David Clayton Thomas, is 81 today. I'm not trying to put words in Bob's mouth. I don't know if I would say that's his favorite singer, but I really got into Blood, Sweat, and Tears through Bob.
Because of him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
got a lot of soul in him, David Clayton Thompson, Thomas. Spinning Wheel, You've Made Me So Happy, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, got some really good ones. let's see here. Judith Martin is 82. She was Miss Manners. And then there's some people no longer with us, like Richard Kyle, born in 1939, passed away in 2014. Jaws, the happy, handsome giant with the metal teeth in the Bond movies, and, and Happy Gilmore, and a bunch of other great movies. Great character actor. Neil Carter. From Neil Harper on Give Me a Break. And we mentioned earlier the great Ronald Dahl, born in this day in 1916, passed away in 1990. Beloved children's author, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Matilda, James and the Giant Peach.
Many of which have been turned into movies.
And the Velvet Fog himself, Mel Torme, born on this day in 1925, passed away in 1999. But Mel's got a great version of Blue Moon. I'm Coming Home is another one of my favorites of his. Great singer. They called him the Velvet Voice for a reason. The man had a voice. Even into his late years, had a great voice.
Well, and he was a professional singer at the age of 3.
Yep. Wow. Vaudeville kid. very, very old school. And it showed. I remember, because I really found out about Mel Torme because I was a diehard Night Court fan. And he showed up on there a couple times because Harry Anderson was a big fan of Mel Torme and wanted to work away for his character to like jazz and bring him on. And he was great on that show. He was really good on that show. And you could just tell that the man was comfortable on set, on screen, all those things. One more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to our good friend Tim Young and Linda Garski.
Happy birthday, you too.
And a happy birthday to our qualifier, Dolores Farrow.
Happy birthday, Dolores, and congratulations.
We implore you to hang around, because when we come back, we're going to get into the best cities to visit if you're a beer lover. And we're going to send it out to our audience and mention, you know, if you guys have a great city to mention, let us know. We'll get to that when we come back after Melissa's news. We encourage you to head to Misty's. They're open right now, 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a good morning from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 8:40 on the clock. James and Melissa here with you. We hope you're having a great day out there. Keep on listening for your chance to win 2 tickets to the Cedar Festival coming up September 16th and 17th. Be talking about that a little bit. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to get into the best cities to visit if you're a beer lover. And we'll take some calls from you guys about that one.
All right.
Looking forward to it. Right now, this could be an interesting conversation here. A new poll found half the country thinks the other half is completely delusional. But we're not talking about politics. We're talking chores.
Chores.
The survey looked at how many much housework men and women in relationships are doing. And the two sides don't seem to agree. Either women don't realize just how much guys pitch in, or men think that they're doing way more than they're actually doing. This study found women are still doing almost twice as much housework, so that suggests men are a little delusional ones. But see what you think. Here are a few chores and how people in relationships said they're divvied up. Side note, divvied is one of my favorite words. Oh, it's such a good word. Divvied up. We don't use it nearly enough. I love that word.
We need to divvy up these apples.
Yes, yes. Number one on the list, laundry. 77% of women say that they do it most of it. Just 55% of men agree.
Oh, well, I mean, that's half of men.
Yeah, yeah. Not bad. I don't know. I know every house is different. So I'm not sure, like, if this is the norm or anything, but I was about 10 or 12, somewhere in between there, when my mom taught me how to do laundry. I've been doing my own laundry since then. I've been in a lot of committed relationships, or a couple committed relationships, and I've lived with a couple of people, but I always did the laundry. Like, I've never been in the scenario where I wasn't in charge of the laundry. I don't know if it, I wasn't looking for that. That's not like what, but it's just, it's kind of been that way. Budgeting and paying bills. 51% of women and 58% of men both think it's mostly something they handle each month. So both sides think that they're the ones doing this. And I think that's in part a good thing, actually. Yeah. I bet if you asked my mom and dad who's in charge of the bills and that and everything, they would probably say both of us.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of households, that's the way it is.
Well,
so maybe that's what they're looking at here, is that it's being answered because, well, I take care. I keep an eye on these ones and he keeps
right.
an eye
I think
on
it's
ones.
It's more often that each party is responsible for certain bills.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't begrudge anybody if, hey, I'm horrible at math, you do the bills and all that stuff or anything. Like, I don't necessarily think that's a sexism thing as much as a, hey, I don't want us to go to the poorhouse. Like, you should probably do the bills because I should not be in charge of that stuff.
Or if, you know, you have issues remembering to pay them,
right.
You know, 'cause you need to pay those things on time. So, but obviously if you have combined finances, then both parties need to be in on what the bills are,
yeah.
how they're being paid, how the money's being spent.
Yeah.
I mean, gone are the days of, well, here's your allowance, wifey or husband, and this is what you get to spend this month, and then I take care of everything else. I don't know that happens very often anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I also feel like, now, again, to each their own, if this is your thing, then more power to you. But I feel like you're kind of, I mean, isn't part of the reason you're with somebody else is to make life a little bit easier for each other and be a team, like work together? It, again, unless it's a scenario where, hey, you cover this, I'll cover that. I don't see why you wouldn't work together. Why? I mean, it's again going back to whole. You've got this resource here. Why would you not use it?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And then a side note of it's a life skill. I can talk from experience of knowing a couple that one party took care of it the whole marriage. Mm-hmm. When they divorced, the other party had no idea. Like, didn't know the first thing about how to write checks, how to pay bills. So the first party had to teach the second party how this is how you do this.
Gotcha.
Before they split ways. Fortunately, it was an amicable divorce that they were able to work these things out. But, you know, it's an important life skill to have. And if you didn't learn it in school, help out your partner.
I don't know if there's anything that I can... I was just trying, while you were talking there, I was listening and trying to think in my head, is there anything that it's really like, yeah, that's got to be their job, like man, woman, what have you. And I literally can't think of anything. I can't think of anything that's like, well, yeah, they're better suited for this, so they should do this.
Well, I think it depends on everybody's personal... Like, I have had a roommate that doesn't like to mow lawn, that just like doesn't actually feel comfortable using a lawnmower.
Right.
So then it was like, well, okay, that can be my duty and your duty can be something else. You know, like working things out like that in a partnership or a roommate situation or a marriage or, you know, any kind of living together situation, that's just working together. That's building a relationship.
It's a foundation of, part of what relationships are built on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just being able to share the chores. is an important thing to be able to work out.
Which goes a long, long ways. Why would you not want somebody to help you with the chores? That doesn't make any sense.
But men and women not agreeing on what, how much they do, that probably seems accurate.
Yeah, that does.
I always do all the laundry.
You know I do.
Just admit it.
Just admit it. I always do. We'll take a break. We'll come back and get into some more fun here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Got some That Ain't Right stories here, and these are leaning so much into the That Ain't Right as just the That Ain't Weird, That Ain't Normal. that is a weird thing. That's a weird situation right here.
Okay.
It's going to have a new segment for weird stuff. This one. Bear crashes 2-year-old birthday party, eats cupcakes. A bear crashed a 2-year-old's birthday party in Connecticut. It was filmed feasting on cupcakes while the partygoers fled inside. Roth and Lauren Medrin said that they were hosting a birthday party for their son, Cyrus, outside their West Hartford home when a bear emerged from the woods.
That's not cool.
The parents and other adults at the party rushed to get the kids inside, but the bear was more interested in the contents of the picnic table. The bear was filmed feasting on cupcakes from the picnic table while the party attendees watched through a window. Now, this is kind of a weird, funny story, but I will say this is what happens if you invite bears to a birthday party.
They're going to eat all the cake.
They always show up late. And they do not like announce themselves or come in through
the
front door. They don't know.
No party hat.
Nothing. They just go right for the food. You can't get mad at the bear for being a bear. If you invite the bear to the birthday party, it's going to act this way.
This is the time of year when they got to have, 24,000 calories a day?
I really feel like this would have happened at my birth. Like, I didn't get a lot of birthday parties. I feel like this is why.
If you would have.
Yeah, my parents know this would have happened. By the law of averages, it would have happened to me.
They got to call up every February.
Yeah.
This is Smokey the Bear. I hear James's party's coming up.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
Yep, we know, Smokey. We know.
Dang it, we got to cancel James's party again.
So sorry, Jay. But, this next one is just kind of a funny, weird one. Not as much, so much scary, maybe. A Philadelphia woman catches a raccoon lounging in her hammock. This woman captured video when she looked out a window and was confronted with an unexpected sight, a raccoon lounging in her hammock. Sarah McAuntley said in a Twitter post she was at her home at the Fishtown section of Philadelphia when she spotted a raccoon using the hammock outside. "Excuse me, who taught the raccoon on my back porch how to use a hammock?" she wrote on her Facebook post. The raccoon remained in the hammock for most of the night. It was a good,
really?
6 or 7 hours it was in there.
It's just been pretty comfy.
I'm showing Melissa a little bit of the video of this because I encourage you to go out there and check it out yourselves. It's very funny. It won't play.
Of course, but I did see the picture of him sitting in it. He looks very comfy.
I've seen a couple of interesting things with raccoons. When I was out in California, they don't have a predator. They don't have a natural predator, raccoons. So they just get big.
Yeah.
And I saw a raccoon, I kid you not, was about the size of a basketball and just about as wide as a trailer semi. It was huge. And it's looking at me like, what are you going to do? It was tougher than half the people I ran into out in California.
He's probably looking to see if he had any food.
Right? Yeah. I've seen a couple of situations with raccoons like that. We focus so much on cats and dogs. Raccoons have become a bit, desensitized to human beings as well.
Yeah, and some people have made them pets. I have seen people
I've heard
with
of that.
Pet raccoons. I have a video on my phone of a baby raccoon on my mom's back deck when I was living there, and just come up out from underneath the deck and walked across, literally a foot away from me, and just walked past me on the deck.
Wow.
Just lounging around.
That's
looking for cat food.
It's pretty cool, though.
It is kind of cool. I love the videos of, the raccoon paw coming up through the cracks and, a deck going for the food.
Mm.
You see that where he just sticks his hand up through and he's feeling around?
That's pretty good. I did want to touch on this story, too, because I do think this is really interesting. It certainly applies to many of our favorite listeners out there. Our favorite, all of you are our favorite listeners, but the best listeners in radio, people out there. Inactivity after the age of 65 increases the risk of heart attacks, heart failure, and strokes, according to the new research out of Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. The study looked at walking speed, leg strength, and balance to measure physical performance. Known as the short physical performance battery, the study measures the ability to perform both basic and instrumental activities of daily living. Physical function in older adults predicts future cardiovascular disease beyond traditional heart disease risk factors, regardless of whether an individual has a history of it or not, according to the authors of this article.
Okay.
After examining the association of the scores from that test, and with future heart attack, stroke, and heart failure, adjusting for major cardiovascular disease risk factors, the study found that 13% had low, 30% had intermediate, and 57% had high physical health scores. During the 8 years of the study, published in the Journal of American Heart Association, 386 participants were diagnosed with a heart attack, 251 had a stroke, and there were 529 heart failure cases.
Ooh, wow.
Those with low physical function scores were 47% more likely to experience at least one cardiovascular disease in our event in their lifetime.
Yeah.
So, again, this comes back to something we've talked about a lot before.
Yeah.
It just gives us more and more data.
More data.
This
activity is good.
Yeah. Keeping that your body, your mind active.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you have to be Lee Haney and be the world's strongest man. It doesn't mean that you have to be, you know, putting yourself to the, killing yourself every day in your workouts or something like that.
But keeping active, trying to retain your flexibility as long as you can. I mean, those things are going to help you feel young.
Most people can get a good walk in just going to their mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not it, you can even just take a walk around your house or your apartment complex. I mean, if you don't feel comfortable going anywhere, if you don't want to use any of our great parks in this area or wherever you live, I guarantee there's probably some nice parks where you live.
Or if you have a set of stairs in your house, go up and down your stairs a few times. I mean, there's lots of ways that you can get physical activity that don't require you to go to a gym.
We had the good story of the day about the gentleman during the pandemic who was raising money and funds by just walking on his back porch back and forth. He'd just go back and forth on his porch and everything.
I've done that. I used to cross-country ski around a field beside my house when I lived in Toma, just to be, you know, because I didn't want to pack stuff up in my car and have to drive somewhere. So I just blazed my own trail.
Right on.
I mean, I had permission from the owners of the field to do said skiing in their field.
I thought so, but yeah. Probably good to mention.
Yeah.
Quote, older adults are at a higher risk for falls and disability, said Zhao Hu, lead author and research data coordinator. The assessment of physical function may also inform the risk of these concerning conditions in older adults. So it isn't just that we're trying to prevent older adults from taking bad falls or anything like that. It's we're also trying to help their minds stay healthier, too. And these things, again, they make you that much more, your body, your mind, that much more stronger. This is why it's so important to keep active.
Yep. And keep active in your brain, too, because our brain is a muscle.
Whether that's a crossword puzzle or watching an episode of Jeopardy, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways. I think that there's better ways, but those aren't bad ways.
I'm
thinking of convenient ways. Reading is another one. Yeah, reading is a great exercise for your brain. It's so common to us. We do it so often, and we're so young when we learn to do it that we don't put in context sometimes what reading is. We just reading. Reading is feeding your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
It's feeding your creativity.
Mm-hmm.
It's feeding your brain. It's feeling the logical part of your brain. It covers all factors.
And there's a lot of ways to read. You can read on paper. You can read on your Kindle, your e-reader, your audiobooks. All of that counts.
Yeah, the great debate about whether or not that's reading or not or anything like is out the window when it comes to the functions it performs for your brain.
For your brain.
Yeah, like that doesn't matter. Like I do find that debate hilarious, though, because I don't really have a dog. I don't really care one way or the other, so I just kind of like eating popcorn or watching people fight over it.
But, I like that with a lot of things.
Yeah.
Just sit back and enjoy the show.
Choose your battles wisely. You know, that's all. I don't think that we're, you know, breaking news here or anything like that.
Everybody knows exercise is good for you, but you do need to stay within the realms of what you can do physically.
And I do think that it never hurts to have more and more data backing up what we've kind of already known.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to have a wise tale that we think of. It's another to have the data that backs up that tale.
Mm-hmm.
We will take a break, but we still got to give away the Cedar Festival tickets.
Oh, yeah.
We got that coming up. We got Danny Wright stories to get to. We got a story to get to with our audience. We want to hear from you guys about all that coming up right here on
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.